Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, and we're going through the Psalms. We're in Psalm 85, verse 4. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Are you turnable? Are you turnable, or are you just going to go on like nothing happened, like you didn't hear anything? Are you turnable? Or do you think it's A-okay, you can just continue? You don't have to change everything. It must be everybody else is the problem. Are you turnable? Turn us. I mean, can you pray that? Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. There's a word in the scripture, repent. What does it mean? Well, it means to turn around. It means to go the other way. It means to change our mind, to turn our mind. You know, I used to think one way. I used to think many things were okay, but because everybody, the majority, was doing it. As a matter of fact, it was being declared and idolized in the music, in the idolatry of romance, and it was a-okay. You know, I mean, you went out there and satisfied your lusts, and you chased women or men with men and another man's wife, and it was all so romantic. And you sang the songs. You turned on the radio and all the pop songs. What are they all? They're all the idolatry of romance. All about, oh, the highest thing, the highest love there is in the world, the love between a man and a woman. Oh, or a man and a man, or a woman and another man who's not her husband, and things like, and it goes on and on and on, and it just continues over and over, and they never have enough of it, and always a new generation raising up and regurgitating it and spewing it out in a different fashion, with different music and different beats and different sounds. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. His anger will cease when we turn. We say, turn us, but are we willing? He doesn't want robots. You know, he's got plenty of them. You know, jackrabbits cross the field all day long. Birds are flying around in the air. You know, all of the animals, they're like robots, basically. They do what they're programmed to do. Not so with us. Our Heavenly Father, He doesn't use force in His kingdom. He's not forcing anyone to come into His kingdom and obey His laws. He made us in His image. He made us to choose. Will we serve Him? Will we do righteousness? Will we love our neighbors ourselves? Do we really believe that all men are created equal? Therefore, my neighbor has the same rights that I have? Or do we believe that we can commit theft and abuse and use our neighbors, and starting with our own family, to believe we can persecute others who convict us of sin? Well, that's where it all leads, doesn't it? It leads there every time. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Well, if we don't turn, He'll be angry with us forever. That's right. Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Well, yes, to all generations that will not turn away from their sins. His anger is still there for them. His wrath is upon them. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? And of course, he's speaking of national Israel. And this would be applicable to national Israel, because his people today, represented by the clay, we should rejoice every day in Him. So there's no question that thy people may rejoice in thee. We rejoice regardless. We rejoice in the prison cell, you know. We rejoice through persecution and suffering. We rejoice because our reward is in heaven, and our reward will never fade away. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? And yes, I could apply this to America. Will He not revive us? I can hope, but I see little opportunity for that hope when I look around. I see a few bright lights out there, one like the homeschooling movement. I see that, but see, I'd see many of them still clinging to privilege and clinging to the remedies of man, to hope in the political system. No, the only hope is in righteousness. But I see them practicing righteousness, and that's the most important thing of all. If they practice righteousness and they teach their children righteousness by example, there's our hope. That's the only hope we have, is that we turn to Him, the God of our salvation. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Well, we'll rejoice anyway, but if the nation turns, we will rejoice all the more. I would like to see it. I mean, if 30 or 40% of the people in the nation, if 30 or 40% of the people, that would be huge. One of the biggest problems for the church and those people that say they're Christians is that they continue to practice the idolatry of romance. I think this is one of the largest issues out there. This is really what's killing the church in America more than anything, is the practice of the idolatry of romance and the practice, the worldly practice of limiting families and family size, of embracing the wisdom of the world. Because if just 30% of Americans, no, even if 20%, let's say 20% of Americans truly followed him and put off birth control and abortion, truly put it off and embraced the Heavenly Father's commandment to be fruitful and multiply, why in one generation, that 20% of the nation, and I think that's a really being optimistic, but in one generation, that 20% of the population could exceed the population of the rest of the nation, which are having, well, what is it? I think it's about even now. I think birth rates and death rates are about even in America. If 20% rose up and said, we're going to have as many children as God will bless us with. And they started having 8 to 12 children per family. Oh, yeah, that would be obedience to the Creator. We'd take over the nation by sheer population. And perhaps America could go on and be a godly nation for a couple hundred years. Or for 100 years or whatever. For a few generations anyway. And that would be something. That's a movement I'd like to see. Do you see the homeschool movement, and then we need the other movement that puts off birth control and abortion and family planning and says, bless us with children. Children are a blessing. And we need to teach our children. And perhaps, you know, I'm in a position where I can't have any more children unless I find me a wife that's willing, because my last wife died. And yes, she died, and when she died, she was 3 months pregnant too. So I lost a wife and a child. But we were believers in what I'm talking about. I'm willing to practice, to preach it and practice it. And so I'm not just practicing what I would be unwilling. I mean, preaching what I would be unwilling to practice. But I can't do it by myself, obviously. It doesn't work that way. Any good women out there? It's hard to find. Usually, you know, when I go surfing the Christian sites, they flee as fast as they can. Why? Because they hate children. And most of them on these sites say, oh, no way. You know, I have children. You know, they have one or two or none, or and I don't want any children. That's the mentality today. They hate God by that proclamation. They hate Him because they hate His law. And you know what? You know what the law of God is? It defines the character of our Creator. Read His law. It defines His character. If you hate His law, then you really hate Him. So you can go around and say you love Jesus all day long. But Yahshua, He said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, or Jesus is Lord, or I just love God, will enter the kingdom of heaven. but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. And at the time the Messiah said that, well, if you wanted to know what the will of the Father was, all you had was his law and the prophets. That's what he was talking about. And what was the very first commandment he gave to mankind even before sin? He said, be fruitful and multiply. The first commandment that he gave the man and the woman, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. That has never changed. He never withdrew that commandment, but he just upheld it continually. And he upholds it by it. The creation is one great witness. The second great witness is the creation itself. The fact that he gave us that instinctual drive to procreate, or at least to do the act of procreation, and they perverted that by birth control and abortion. Well, now you can just have all that pleasure that God gave you as an incentive to fulfill his first commandment to be fruitful and multiply. Now you can just have the pleasure without the heavy burden or the blessing, because it's a blessing. Children are a blessing. You look around, you know, at the end of your life, and what have you got for all your labor? Now, hopefully you have some children that are a blessing, great, and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. There, that's what you'll remember, and what you made of their lives, what you taught them, what you showed them, how you shaped them by teaching them the truth and by demonstrating that truth. That's what makes your life worthwhile. Not your career, whatever that is. Continuing here in Psalm 81, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, Yahuwah, and O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I'll take that. I'll take that salvation. And there's nothing more important than to make sure I endure to the end. Because the scripture says, he who endures to the end shall be saved. I've got my eye fixed on the prize. I'm not turning back from the plow. I will hear what God, Yahuwah, will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. There you go. You want peace? Practice righteousness. What beautiful words. How poetic. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, Yahuwah shall give good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. Righteousness. Now, I define righteousness as to do that which is right in his sight. That's how I define righteousness. Psalm 86, a prayer of David. Bow down thy ear, Yahuwah, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. And, of course, the word there is to be set apart. I am pious. I am one of your saints. David, preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. And, you know, there's the heart of David. It was said of him that he was a man after God's own heart. Because, well, he said, I cry unto thee daily. And we need to cry unto him daily. And, that, you know, that's what it means to seek first the kingdom of God. Daily we cry unto him. Daily. Not once a week. Not once in a while, not on certain holy days of the Pope's calendar that we go to, you know, the corporate building. Rejoice, the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. And that's why I changed the words of that song, that our God is an awesome God. I say he is the awesome God, because among the gods there is none like unto him. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. Yes, why not start learning his name now? For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, Yahuwah. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. And you know, when I think about where I would be without the Messiah, where I would be without his righteousness, where would I be without repentance, without his Holy Spirit convicting me of sin and teaching me righteousness, writing his law upon my heart, where would I be? Well, I hate to think about it, where I would be. I know where I was going, and it was not a beautiful thing. I am so glad that he came into my life. So these words are just beautiful to me. For great is thy mercy toward me, that thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have set not, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Man, I was stubborn when the Heavenly Father adopted me. I was totally backwards. And he is long-suffering and full of compassion. I mean, he suffered me a long time to bring me to the point where I'm at. Beautiful words. David, I can identify with him. I can't say that I'm any better than him. He was a murderer, you know, perhaps I haven't murdered anybody physically. And he was an adulterer, and I can't say that I've done, you know, committed adultery physically, but I'm no better. That's for sure. Because our Messiah, he raised the standard. He says, if you hate your brother without a cause, you're a murderer. If you look on another man's wife to lust after, you're an adulterer in your heart. He raised the standard. He made none of us better than David, who did the act. Of course, I believe doing the act brings greater consequences in your life, that the Heavenly Father has actually saved us from doing the act of carrying out those things in the physical realm, for most of us anyway, has saved us a lot of suffering that we see was demonstrated in David's life. Though David was forgiven, he still suffered the consequences of those acts in his flesh. So our God, he is merciful to keep us from doing those things, and to save us, for those of us that he has saved from doing those things. Many are in prison, and some are not, that have committed atrocious sins and murder and have gotten off or been, you know, for whatever reason, and have repented of those things. But I believe they still suffer some consequences in their own life and in the lives of their children. Yes, we need to fear. We need to fear God, because he is just, but at the same time, he is merciful. For great is thy mercy toward me, Psalm 86, verse 13, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and assembles of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. And we see that, those that assemble and would do violence toward God's people, they do not set, they do not fear God, in other words. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me, have mercy upon me, give thy strength unto thy servant, and have the son of thine handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Yahuwah, hast helped me and comforted me. A psalm or song for the sons of Korah. His foundation is in the holy mountains. Yahuwah loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia, this man was born there. And of Zion it shall be said, this is the man, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. Yahuwah shall count when he writeth up the people, that is, this man was born there, as well the singers and the players on instrument. All my springs are in thee. And perhaps we'll discuss Psalm 87 next time on Cross the Border, because we are out of time. Well, in everything you say and in everything you do, always praise his holy name. Hallelujah.